would your preference be to stay in Boston when all is said and done?
My preference? I mean, Boston is an amazing city, man. I mean, if winning is priority, I mean, why not?
But when it comes to Xander, my educated opinion on this situation is that he doesn't want to go anywhere.
Xander, Frank Thomas here.
Big Hurt.
And I want to say this with respect, because I love your game. You're the most underrated superstar.
And Bogarts in a Cardinals uniform would look pretty good.
Don't you think, though, Cutter, that if Xander is that guy, your team is totally different?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's kind of the heartbeat of the team, you know.
Did you happen to catch the re-sign Xander chance?
Yeah, I heard it.
What's that mean to you?
I mean, if I struck out, it wouldn't help my cause.
Free agents and guys going through some contract situation. Red Sox, I got some love for y'all.
Burn the man! Sande Bogart!
It is Chris Sale.
I'm just going to say it. We got to keep Bogey. We got to.
This is all I know. You know, I'm very, very thankful for everyone that has helped me, you know, be the player that I am today.
Here's a nice moment now. Xander Bogaerts is going to come out of the game. He shakes hands with Laz Diaz, the second base umpire, hugs Christian Arroyo. The fans who are here give him a standing ovation, and Xander Bogaerts tips his cap, puts his cap over his heart. Xander Bogaerts, we hope this is not goodbye.
Well done, Tyler. Xander Bogaerts, did he play his last game as a member of the Boston Red Sox? Curious your reaction. At 617-779-7937. Well, today they had a press conference. Brian O'Halloran, Chaim Bloom, Sam Kennedy, Alex Cora. We'll get to who was missing. But I want to play Chaim Bloom. I think the question was from Rob Bradford, actually. Is signing Xander in the offseason your number one priority?
You said Xander, you know, that process starts right away. Would you say that he's your number one priority as the offseason starts?
Yeah. I mean, just because of the timing of his free agency. Obviously, until we get after the World Series, there's a lot of other things that we can plan for but not do. You know, this is something we can work on right away.
You hope to get a deal done before he can opt out?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's no different from where we've been. Our position hasn't changed on that. I know, you know, I've said this before, nothing I say really matters unless there's a deal. But our position's been the same, that we want to keep him here for a long time. We want him here on a deal that, you know, we're going to look back on and say this is great for everybody. You know, we see what happens. We just got to the end of one of those with JD, and I think everybody, you know, can feel that one worked out for everybody involved, and we want to build around him and win with him.
Did he just say we just got to the end of one with JD?
Yeah, JD's his contract's up.
Because he had a lot to do with that, right?
That's true.
Okay, but, you know, it's a very good point.
Hey, listen, we just finished one. It's like, yeah, nothing to do with that one.
Bother me, because he still, even today, he talked about how, you know, we still want to make the good baseball move and find a deal that's good for everybody. How many times you get assigned a pitcher or a player in, like, free agency that's good for everybody?
Hey, you're always going to pay up the nose.
Yeah, it's never good for you. It's good for you because you have talent. You have a talented player, but financially, I don't know of a free agent contract that's actually good for you.
Like, you know, we're going to look back on it,
you know,
and say,
mean?
This is great for everybody.
No, it's just going to be great for the player. It might be good for you because Xander's willing to take less. That's why you might think it's good for you. But if you want to go get like a stud in this rotation, pretty sure it's going to be an uncomfortable contract that you might look at and say, this is not a good deal for us. However, I got a stud in my rotation for the next 3 or 4 years.
You know what else is good is finding that diamond in the rough.
That
unknown, you know, player that everybody has given up on.
So they would have to pay for, I don't know, like a Noah Syndergaard or a Carlos Rodon.
Those deals
like,
won't be good for them financially.
Oh, no way.
No, I mean, Aaron Judge hit 62 home runs. Whoever signs him ain't going to be good for them financially. I mean, you got the good player. He'll kick your ass for the next 5 or 6 years. But financially, at some point, you're going to sit there and say, that ain't good for us. So it still worries me that his deep to the core, this is how he feels about it. Still
yes.
Gotta, how about a trade? Still going to be a good baseball trade for both teams.
I want to make sure everybody wins.
You know, we're going to look back on it and say this is great for everybody.
That kind of worries me a little
bit.
Wait,
why doesn't he want to, like, make some other GM look like an idiot? You take advantage of some poor GM who's a novice and doesn't know what they're doing. Isn't that what's best for the Red Sox?
Isn't that what Danny Ainge did forever?
And that's just thinking, like, that's why people stopped trading with him, because he kept fleecing them and pantsing them, making them look
stupid.
Well,
your guy might be the novice one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that's
the
problem.
He is
the
novice
one.
This is his first time in this job.
Well, but not really. I mean,
this
is his third year.
I know, but this is his first stint, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but how many years have to go by?
We all disregard 2020 with COVID,
okay, so he's on year two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just finished year two.
And it's the biggest one he has. Okay, his job is not easy. I will admit that, you know, because he needs frontline pitcher. He needs a closer, a couple more bullpen arms. He needs to re-sign Bogarts or figure that out. He needs to sign an outfielder with pop. Wait, he needs to sign a DH. I mean, it's not an easy job.
Isn't his job?
But he's got a lot of stuff to fix.
Isn't his job easier than most teams based on the amount of money and resources that the ownership would give them? So, listen, I get it. It's a difficult job. It's high leverage. It's stressful. But I don't know. I feel like they give you like every advantage.
The contract situation, like he doesn't opt out until so 3 days after the World Series, free agency starts or whatever, people opt out. So he can now continue to talk starting today with Xander Bogaerts and rip up that extension. That's what he's talking about. And that's what he should do. He's already secured a guy like Kike Hernandez. He's versatile. He could play center field. He could move around, whatever. You sign Xander Bogaerts here in the next month before free agency starts. And you can look out and say, I got Cassis, I got Story, I got Xander, I got Devers. That's where I'm looking at right now. That's a pretty good start. I got Kike and Verdugo. Okay, you need a starting point. There's a lot of holes, a lot of things to be fixed. So lock down the guy that kind of settles everything. Because if you lose Xander, now you're just sitting there going, okay, now what? Can Story play short? Can Kike play short?
Do I need to sign a short play stuff? Every day?
Yeah, like it's just chaos if you don't do it. Got to do it.
All right, so honest to God, then Xander Bogaerts is like the catalyst of all this stuff. Don't do anything until you sign him. If he is like if he sets the tone, if he's like, you know, the anchor of this whole thing,
yeah,
and he's willing to take less, I feel like this should be one of the easiest negotiations they've ever had. He wants to stay. He's willing to take less. He's done before. He'll do it again.
I think both sides.
I feel like I changed my answer.
Both sides want to make it work, but I'm wondering how much crow Bloom is willing to eat. Like, I don't think he's going to have to eat that much. But going from the position that they started in before the season with that offensive offer that he gave to Xander, like I'm wondering if things have gotten bad enough for him in the place that he's in with the Red Sox that he's looking at this and going, yeah, I got it. I screwed that.
What is his issue is going to be is so Boris, his agent, will do the right thing because that's what his job. You know, I got to give you all offers. If Boris comes up and says, listen, these guys, it's an extra $40 million in your pocket. Just throwing out a number.
Just say Phillies, Dombrowski. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, so it's Dombrowski. It's an extra $40 million in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like, can't you fall in love with Philly? Like, Philly's a great town.
It smells
City
like
of
pee.
Brotherly love. It's got the Rocky statue.
No, smells like pee. No, I feel like we don't talk about that.
That's
enough.
Detroit.
But that's the kind of money you're talking about turning down, like 25 to 30, and if it gets to 40, whatever. But the other thing he can do, too, is I think calm things down with Rafi Devers by signing Xander Bogaerts. Like, to me, I signed Xander Bogaerts.
Trust us.
And I don't extend Devers. I said on TV, people went nuts the other day on Monday night, but I would not. I would just play the thing out. You know, if you re-sign Bogaerts, now, Xander looks at Rafi and says, listen, I know they messed with me. They messed with you. They gave us these crappy offers and extension deal. But, you know, when push came to shove, they gave me what I wanted. And now I'm back here. They're still the Boston Red Sox. They paid me to come back here. So you go do your business, and they'll offer you one. Because I think the window to re-sign a given extension to Devers and Bogaerts, as we saw, is gone. Like, no one's going to settle with 1 year left of free agency. You know, like, Devers is not going to settle. He had a bad year. He's not going to settle for what they want to give him right now. He'd rather go out there and prove he had kind of a monster year. And then, hey, and the Red Sox should sit there and say, we're the freaking Red Sox. I'm not afraid to pay you if you have a great year. But there's going to be no extension for Devers. Hopefully they re-sign Bogaerts. And Rafi can sit there and say, you know, Xander could tell him, just go have your year, just like they did with me. And when the push comes to shove, they'll bring you back. I think it just calms the waters down with Devers. I wouldn't re-sign him in the offseason.
Christian Devers is going to bet on himself.
He will.
It's your new favorite thing.
He will.
Guys who bet big on themselves.
Well, if you needed some sort of like inspiration, I mean, Aaron Judge did it.
All Rise.
I mean, he doesn't have a cool nickname. That's the one thing Devers is missing. Lamar Jackson Raffy? Is doing right now.
Maybe we could start playing like Raffy children's songs.
Bet on himself.
No. Nah, Ryan says no. I was going to say yes, but
nobody
Ryan
asked
no.
Ryan.
Ryan.
So
think about it. If you're willing to pay market value for your player, like I think the Yankees will, why would you pay it the year before? Like why would you pay it? Like, you know what I mean? Aaron Judge, you know, look, you're like, listen, if he has we offer him 7 and 215. If he has a great year and he's looking for, you know, 10 and 300 or whatever it is, we'll pay it. But why should I offer that now when I'm willing to pay it at the end of the year? And if you sign Xander, all these people that call in, they're like, they lost Mookie. And look, they lost Xander. What are you going to say about Devers? Actually, you know, you would sit there and say, well, listen, everybody was screaming and yelling all season long about Xander. They actually re-signed him when push came to shove. Relax.
And is it,
they're not going to let Devers go either, which I don't think they will. I just don't think there's an extension coming for him.
I do think that people have they really love comparing Mookie Betts and Xander, where I think the two are so far
so different.
Apart. So, and I would say Devers is probably more like, and I hate bringing this name, but John Lester. He's probably similar to John Lester. Wants to stay, didn't want to leave.
Devers or Xander?
Xander is similar to John Lester because you give him a low offer, he doesn't take it, he gets a better deal someplace else, that whole thing. Grew up in the system, he was a Warrior. I mean, just everything you wanted. And you hear that a lot. Like, they learned their lesson with John Lester.
Yeah. To your point, there was also that reporting that we've brought up time and time again from the All-Star break when we heard that Mookie essentially told Xander, like, hey, when it comes down to it, do what's best for you.
Right.
Do what's best for you.
Everyone's different.
Yeah. And if you and your family, if you want to be in Boston, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter to go get, I mean, this is Mookie saying this and kind of trying to translate what he was saying here. If it's going to be like tens of millions of dollars more to be somewhere you don't want to be,
yeah,
like he's different. He's not Mookie. Yeah.
I think he is. And it's a bad comparison with Mookie too, you know, because, you know, he's just talked about testing free agency every single time he opened his mouth about it. And Xander's never said it, you know, but you mentioned like I was talking about Judge. Like Judge is going to sign a monster contract. Remember Devers early in the year, don't compare me to anybody. And we said he's comparing himself to, like, the greatest hitter in the game, whatever. Maybe you think it's Juan Soto who's having a down year, whatever. But Aaron Judge's contract, Devers can't sit there and say, I deserve that. The dude hit 62, going for triple crown, just came shy of it. Like, so it's like you can compare.
But I'm younger.
You can think there's no comp, but you can't compare yourself to Aaron Judge. And quite frankly, he ain't Mookie either. He's never. Last I checked, he's never won an MVP. Last I checked, he's never been runner-up to MVP.
Not a gold glove third baseman.
He's not a gold glove third baseman. So I would say, I would rather than pay this guy $30, $35 million, take his $18 in arbitration, take the $15 million you don't spend this offseason, improve your ball club this year, and if he has a great season, because this one wasn't, then you sign him to whatever contract the market says, and you just bring Devers back. But he's going to be a lot better if he thinks he's going to get the kind of money I think he wants next year. So I'll make him play for it. It's a business, just like you did with Bogarts. And if he has a good year, you pay him. It's no big deal. I don't mind at all. Let's get to Alex Cora. Because yesterday we had read some quotes that Cora said pregame I thought were very, very interesting. Today we have that sound. Just getting Alex Cora kind of summing up at the end of the year what it was like for him.
Going home on Monday is going to feel weird. Right now it feels weird. You know, the whole signing autographs on the road because everybody's going to take their jerseys or helmets, whatever. That I really don't like it in October. I hate it now in September, you know, and it's too early for all that stuff. But, hey, you learn from it. You know, it's not, you know, hopefully it's the last one. And hopefully we can be in contention next year all the way to the end. Just to be there all the way to the end is a good feeling. This one, I really hate it. I don't like it. I know the family, they know it too. You know, it's not that they're happy we're going home, but hey, we deserve to go home. And like I said before, we're going to push hard in this offseason to get it right. We know we play in the toughest division in baseball, but at the same time, we understand that we should be a lot better. And I've been thinking about next year for a while. A lot of watching, a lot of thinking, a lot of questions the last month. And, you know, the planning's in place from my end. You know, one of the things that I really want is a sense of urgency. You know, it's something that as an organization, we've done it throughout the years, and we have to push hard in the offseason. You know, the message, you know, it's going to be now. I love the future. You know, we love the past. We don't like this past, right? But I think living in the present and pushing hard is something that we're going to talk a lot. You know, I think that's something that it pushes you to be great. And it's not that we didn't do it this year, but I think the message should be louder.
So we're going to push hard in the offseason. It's got, I mean, they got to sign players.
You got to push hard. There's got to be a sense of urgency now. It's got to be now. So I don't know how you read into that, Mego, Lou. I'm not sure how you guys read into it, but I just heard, I feel like this is 100% directed at Chaim Bloom. And I don't think I can remember another time where a head coach, manager, whatever you want to call it, the leader of the organization, of the players, has ever publicly called out a GM. Like, I can't remember it. I can't remember a time where a manager or a coach has basically said, you're not doing enough. Make more, make better decisions. Don't overthink it. Like, we're ready to win now. What we saw last year was an embarrassment, and don't do it again. Like, that to me is what he said, which is like, which I think is a little brave, to be honest with you.
I think he was actually, I would say he was attacking Himes' philosophy this year in that he said the message is now. We love the future, but we're living in the present. He's essentially saying we need to focus on the major league club right now. Like, we love the future. We love the idea of these prospects coming up and investing in that, and that's been great and everything. But the message needs to be louder. He says we need to focus on getting players to this club and spending money on the players keep them here in this club, not in Portland, not in Worcester, not in Greenville. That's great. Like, yeah, we'll bring all those guys up, but it's been neglected.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think when we first heard it yesterday, then I thought more about it. I'm like, I don't think Alex is saying these things publicly. I think he said them privately before, but I don't think he's saying them publicly without having this exact conversation with Chaim Bloom. Like, I don't think Bloom heard this and was like, Jesus, Alex, wow, you want us to be, I don't know where this is coming from, because I don't plan on having any urgency. I don't plan on going nuts in the offseason. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's already had this conversation with Chaim, and the both of them are in agreement that they need urgency and they need to be aggressive in the offseason, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I don't think this is rogue. I don't think this is rogue. I think he's already sat down with Bloom and said everything, and they agree with everything that he said yesterday.
See, I look at it and I go, you may be right, but I don't think Cora likes Bloom at all. I don't think he likes him at all. I don't think he likes his philosophy. I think he's a little fed up with it. I think he's tired of it. I think he doesn't have any patience for it, you know. And I was almost going to cut him some slack. I'm like, yeah, you know, he is in the best division in baseball. And, like, I'm like, you're the only team that's not making the playoffs. Like, everybody else is, like, going to do something in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So I that's how I feel about it. Like, enough's enough. But even if you've had that discussion, Lou, it feels like a passive-aggressive public dig where, okay, well, I know we had this discussion in private, but I'm going to put you on blast
publicly to
hold you to it,
yeah,
so you can't change your mind.
I would say it's not passive aggressive. I would say it's upfront. Yeah. Passive aggressive would be calling Alex Spear or somebody and saying,
it's
like,
aggressive.
Hey, this is how it is, and you can attribute it to a source close to the club. Instead, he's just airing it out there.
And I'm looking at a tweet here, too, by the way, when it comes to John Henry and this, how aggressive they're going to be in the offseason. When I give you these numbers as far as how attendance was this year, that should tell you how aggressive they're going to be. And we know, not sure if it was Xander Bogaerts last day, but we do know that it was Dennis Eckersley's. And it's been a great week. We'll hear a little bit of how this whole thing ended with the great Eck leaving the booth. We'll do it all next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.